Micah chapter 1. The word of Yahweh that came to Micah in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, you peoples, all of you, listen, O earth, and all that is therein, and let the Lord Yahweh be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. So when he says listen, of course, what he really means is listen and repent, so that the situation that's going to happen needn't happen. And this is the urgency that we're all in, that we are going to die and stay dead ultimately forever unless we respond to the gospel. And so there is an urgency there in our witness to people and in our own listening to God's word. For behold, Yahweh comes forth out of his place and will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains melt under him, and the valleys split apart like wax before the fire, like waters that are poured down a steep place. All this is because of the disobedience of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the disobedience of Jacob? Isn't it Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Aren't they Jerusalem? So they had these high places, which is where they worshipped their idols. And yet he says that the high places of Judah were in Jerusalem. That is, they were in the temple. So they were worshipping idols in God's temple. And this is our temptation, not, I think, to become atheists, not to say there is no God, but to think that we can worship all our idols, be it trying to get a smart career, smart things in our lives, sport or whatever it might be, and say, oh, yeah, but this is all part of my worship of God. And it isn't. And really the implication, therefore, is that we are to worship God with all our heart and all our soul and give ourselves completely to him. And he goes on, therefore I will make Samaria like a rubble heap of the field, like pieces of ruined vineyards, and I will pour down its stones into the valley, and I will uncover its foundations. All her idols will be beaten to pieces, and all her temple gifts will be burned with fire. All her images will be destroyed. So in the end, all these idols will come to nothing. In the end, that beautiful house, that beautiful kitchen, that beautiful car, all the things that people so want, that beautiful holiday, in the end, it shall all come to an end. And it is only the things that we do for God that have any lasting value. Now Micah says, for this I will lament and wail. I will go stripped and naked. I will howl like the jackals and moan like the daughters of owls. For her wounds are incurable, and it has come even to Judah. It reaches to the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. Don't tell it in Gath. Don't weep at all. At Beth Ophrah I have rolled myself in the dust. So Micah was so desperate that people should see this. He took his clothes off and rolled naked in the dust. He begged them. He urged them. He wailed in front of them. He lamented. He howled like an animal. He so wanted them to get it. And that is really how we should be in this world, that we should so want them to get it. And this is the basis of our witness then to people. Not thinking, I suppose I better say something about my church to them, but to really want to save people, to have a heart that bleeds for people. That is what is so critically important. And you see it here with Micah, willing to roll himself in the dust to try to persuade them. The inhabitant of Maroth waits anxiously, hoping for good, but evil comes down from Yahweh to the gate of Jerusalem. So evil comes from Yahweh. They thought, these people in Maroth, that only good comes from God. They thought that he was like the rich uncle or the kind old granddad who just gives you all the nice things and he wouldn't do anything else. But it's not so that there were two gods, God and sort of Satan or whatever. No, God is completely powerful. I make peace and I create evil. I make the light, I create the darkness, God says in Isaiah. It's the same here. It all comes from God. He is in complete and total control. Harness the chariot to the swift steed, to the swift horse, inhabitant of Lachish. She was the beginning of sin to the daughter of Zion. for the transgressions of Israel were found in you. Therefore you will give a parting gift to Moresheth Gath. The houses of Akzib will be a deceitful thing to the kings of Israel. I will yet hand you over to your enemy, inhabitant of Marisha. So God gave these Israelite and Jewish cities and towns and villages into the hand of their enemies. Now, of course, they thought that if our God is on our side, he'll look after us. But the God of Israel is not quite like that. He is searching for relationship, and we have responsibility before him. And so he will not automatically defend you just because you are belonging to a certain church, a certain tribe, as it were, just because you're an Israelite. He actually, it says, handed them over to their enemies. Shave your heads, cut off your hair for the children of your delight. Enlarge your baldness like the vulture, for they have gone into captivity from you. So God is saying, repent, shave your heads, fast, repent, and pray to me, so that your children who have gone into captivity might be saved. So you see how you can influence the outcomes for third parties. You can influence, to some degree, the experience of other people by your prayer. And that's why he says to them here, to these parents, shave your heads, cut off your hair for your beloved children, because they've gone into captivity. In other words, if you repent, maybe they will come back. Maybe God will look after them while they're in captivity. And so we really can have an influence upon other people. And God is really open to our prayers for other people. And quite simply, prayer does change things.